This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Good morning to you on a rainy and foggy Tuesday morning throughout the Delaware Valley. Hope you're having a fantastic start to this Tuesday. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Jimi Hendrix. What do you say, John? We dump Seltzer, we dump Rhea, and we insert Jimi Hendrix. Just
Joe He's DeCameron. Dead.
Well, so the rude thing would be if I said, yeah, it'd be an upgrade. But I don't mean it that way. I'm just trying to be playful. All right. So a lot. Oh, by the way, speaking of music, I got to give a shout out. It ain't Hendrix, but it was great. Shout out to the Hooters. Friday night, I went to the Hooters at the Keswick Tower, at Keswick Theater. They were great. They were, I'm telling you guys, they were great. Anyone, if you were at the concert, and I think they played Friday and Saturday, I'm curious if you have a scouting report. I can tell you from my standpoint, Amy from Villanova, we were both tremendously impressed. They totally still got it, John. The four main songs, they were rocking them. The other songs, like, I don't know them as well, but the crowd was vibing. It was a great concert, man. Well, you would have liked it, John.
I bet.
Day by day.
Liked them back
and we
in
danced.
The day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we dance by the wave of the ocean romance.
It was really good. So anyway,
we're liars in love and we dance.
Exactly. Congrats to those
great
guys.
Great videos, too.
Yeah.
They were the big time. They were
totally.
Big time, like the local guys who made it to the big
Absolutely.
MTV, and it was wonderful.
Great band. And they,
great to see
And they
that.
Still got it. I was really, really impressed. So congrats to those guys. And if anyone else was at the concert, curious, you know, your thoughts, but I thought they were great. 215-592.
So do you dance with Amy
while you're at the concert? I will say this.
That's a no.
Are you a swayer?
I will give a little bit of a sway.
No.
Why go to a concert if you're not going to dance?
Because
What's
if
the
I
point?
Go there, I might have a John Clark moment when people started filming him years ago at the Bruce Springsteen concert.
Hey, you ever hear the phrase, dance like nobody's watching, pal?
Yeah, but what if they are, James? And they put up
Who
on
cares?
Social media.
Who
yeah,
cares?
I care a little bit.
I don't care.
Joe,
like,
we've seen you run, so I can imagine the dancing has to be better than that.
Come to a fish show with me. Everyone's dancing. It's no big deal.
That.
Everybody's also stoned.
You don't dance because you're afraid someone might
I am conscious in public.
Wow.
Be a little bit. Discernment.
That must mean you're bad at dancing.
Live your life, man.
Are you?
I'm just telling you what I'm talking about.
Maybe
you're
right,
buddy.
With your dancing.
Be comfortable in your own skin. It's
you
okay.
should have more confidence. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's how you feel when you hear the music. That's
well,
all.
Listen, I am after all.
The hammer!
So maybe I should learn.
Just let it
maybe.
All hang out.
Yeah, learn from the hammer a little bit.
Well, you know what
totally.
You know what it might have been? Because I got a new drop on the drop board, John. Maybe this is what I did.
Another bonehead play.
That is going to be versatile. Guys, I can use...
Another bonehead play.
I mean, that's going to have a lot...
I'm so forthright.
There's a lot in Philadelphia sports...
Another bonehead play.
That can apply to.
Feels like
By the way,
almost every play.
I got another drop that I'm ready to debut. Now, I need a caller to, you know, just...
Lead into it.
Lead
to
into it. But I'm gonna lean into this as soon as I hear a call that leans... Into it the
Don't
right way.
Don't force it.
No.
It's got to be played at the right time.
I understand.
Just making sure.
That's fair. All right, let's get to the Jason.
Dance.
Yeah, they were great,
the
man.
Wave. So when are they coming back? Did you go both nights?
No.
Did you talk to the band?
No. So
when are you coming back? What kind of question is that? How's he supposed to know?
How am I supposed to know?
I guess you don't.
Apparently,
care
they do that every
much.
Year. I've heard they do it every year.
Really?
Yeah, you should go, John.
I want to go,
dude. I would love it.
How about this date night? We can say that for John now. A little date night there.
Double date.
That'd be great.
Nah, single date. Let John go by himself. Four hours of Rich is enough here. I don't need. Yeah. Anyway, all right.
Maybe I can go with Amy.
I settle down. Okay, hold on.
Like, Amy knows the wherever it was.
Well, she knows all that stuff.
She seems lovely.
I appreciate you saying that. Well, I appreciate you saying that. All right, let's get to Jason Kelce. It just got a little weird. Let's get to Jason Kelce.
I'm thinking about those New York Yankees back in the 70s.
So Kelce talked last night. It was right at the top of Monday Night Football coverage. Scott Van Pelt had done, before the audio you're about to hear, about a 20-second setup. We got a game. We got this. We got that. But then, like, boom, they get right into it. I was proud of Jason. And I don't say that to sound like an authority figure. I mean, as a Philadelphian and as someone who cares about Jason and as someone who Jason is part of our show and he's a massive part of the Philadelphia sports community and he's a great human. I was really proud of how he handled it last night. Let's listen to the audio. The start of Monday Night Football coverage, pregame on ESPN. Obviously, Kelce addressing the situation from Saturday, which he previously had not done. Here's what he said.
Jason, I know you got some stuff on your mind, and I want to give you the floor to say what's on your mind.
Yeah. You know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though I fell short this week. I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that. So, I think we got a game to focus on. Obviously, a matchup. I don't think this is the platform to necessarily go into more detail. So get ready for this Chiefs game.
Much respect, bro.
Respect.
For real. All respect, my friend.
Respect.
All right, no doubt. You have more to say. We'll be listening with that. And in the meantime, as you say, we got a game to get
Absolutely.
To.
John, I was incredibly impressed. What are your thoughts? And a curious everyone at 215-592-9494. What'd you make of it, John?
I thought it was really well said. He didn't come out and have to sacrifice too much pride while saying how sorry he was. Like, I do feel contrition.
Oh, yeah.
Came across, and it sounded good while contrition was coming across. It was strong. It was just a great job.
You know what was big? Didn't read off a piece of paper.
I agree with you.
It was Jason Kelce.
Heartfelt.
That was, like, he was thoughtful. He was searching for the words. You can only imagine how many times
he
probably
talked about
tried
discourse.
To...
He wanted to get to discourse.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't think this brought what I was, you know, going for.
He owned it. You know, he didn't talk extensively about the guy, who obviously is a total jerk. The only real reference is, you know, hate with hate. So he's referencing that guy had hate, which clearly he did. But I thought it was exceptionally well handled. I really mean it. I was really... but look, you can react. 215-592-9494. I really, really, really liked and appreciated how Jason handled that last night. Brandon Graham's in the house. He's going to join us in about 20 minutes. The Eagles are on a four-game winning streak.
And Richie's dancing.
And day by day, people criticize Nick Sirianni. Day by day by day, you all say Sirianni stinks every day. The guy has a record of 40-19. Day by day, every day, Everybody, not everybody, a lot of people say it stinks.
It's called recency bias. Sunday nearly broke a lot of us.
So, you know what? Here's the thing. I didn't like all his decisions. I wasn't as down on all of them the way a lot of people were. It was notable, if you missed it, by the way, yesterday, Nick Sirianni. Matter of fact, let's play the audio right now. Let's just get to him in his own words. And then your chance to react to 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Sirianni from the press conference yesterday when asked about the two-point conversions and the fourth down decisions. And he doubled down. He was very clear. He stands by it. Here's what he said yesterday.
You know, looking back on it, and I'm thinking, would I do anything different? And to be honest, sometimes I say absolutely. This, in this particular case, I felt like we did the right thing in all those scenarios.
Look, we will talk to him about it at 8:40 today. But obviously, he's not going to budge off that. I mean, he's now gone on the record publicly to say the fourth and three, the two-point conversion, the other two-point conversion, the 57-yard field goal. Look, I didn't like the 57-yard field goal, and I didn't like the fourth and three go for it.
Same.
I didn't like them. But I will say this, man. He nets out to me as a pretty good coach.
I'm better with him.
Well, obviously.
You convert, I feel a lot better.
You convert
on the tush pushes. We're not worried about any of this stuff. We need to know the root of some of these problems. Right now, we're not executing on that's like the staple play of the offense.
Look, we know there have been circumstances that have changed. I mean, Malott has been out. You got a different player in there. You don't have Kelsey. It had been effective earlier, but let's not act like not having Kelsey isn't probably part of the factor. Maybe the Jags had some big dudes in there defensively. Maybe technique-wise they did something different. I don't know. But they certainly were effective in ways other teams generally had not been. Your thoughts on Sirianni? You know,
that's
he's
why it's a problem.
No, I mean, it would hurt.
How many times did we miss?
Well, I think it was two. I think it was two times.
Stopped. Stuff.
No, I know. I get it.
Even the, and one
to be
I thought
fair,
was
one
the
of them
call.
I thought was the wrong call. I thought he got the wrong call.
A lot of people thought that. Yeah. All right. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question: is Nick Sirianni a good NFL head coach? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And if you think he's a flat-out bad coach, we'll take those calls too. I mean, I think most people think he's a bad coach. I'm not in that group. Now, look, I called for his firing last year, so I'm kind of all over the place here, and I acknowledge that.
It's a little messy.
No, it is. It's complicated. And I know he irritates people, even though people know he's a nice guy. Like, it's a weird one.
But he wins a lot of games. People are afraid because, like, I don't think in the Super Bowl that, you know, he cost them because, you know, I feel in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. Jonathan Gannon was way more at fault and, you know, Jalen, you know, dropping that ball. But I think people are just afraid that these kind of mistakes, you know, I felt like decisions he made in the Atlanta game cost them.
We'll bite him in the playoffs.
We'll bite them in the playoffs in a big spot.
I think you're right.
It's a fear factor.
No, it's a fear for me, too. Yeah. I agree with that. Let's go to the phones. Jaws joins us soon. Brandon Graham in about 15 minutes. CJ right now. Good morning, CJ.
What's good, gentlemen? Ladies.
Hi, CJ.
How's everyone this morning?
Doing well.
Great.
Tell you one thing that's good. The Eagles have become pretty good. I don't know how good because they beat a lot of bum teams, but 6-2 is better than 2-2. Tell you that.
So you answered your own question. You don't know because they played a bunch of bum teams. That's
no, I know.
You just said.
I get it. I get it.
Like last year, we beat a bunch of bad teams, and when they got time to play good teams, we got kicked in the butt.
Well, they actually beat good teams in that stretch also. I mean, look, they beat Kansas City and Buffalo. I mean, that is, you know, no slouches.
Kansas City in Kansas City, too.
Yeah. So it's not quite apples for apples.
A broke clock. So a broke clock would be right twice a day. Okay. All right. I'll see what you said. So,
jeez.
About Nick. So, is McCartney Cowboys head coach a good coach?
No.
Because they've won 12 games. They've won 12 games like
3 years in a row.
Listen, that's a great point. I don't think he is. I do think they had talent, but you bring up a good point. I mean, they won 36 games.
The guy who won the division last year isn't a good coach, but the guy who continuously does bonehead stuff.
Interesting point, CJ.
Great thought, CJ.
These are two questions. There's only two questions I even ask with Nick. What does he do, and what the hell is he doing? When the things that you do are pointed out in a bad way, or you're trying to prove, hey, this is what I do when it comes out bad, how can I look at you and say you're a good coach?
Is he now doing too much because he was in line to do too little? But by that, I mean, I don't know exactly how this stuff is arranged, but have they stripped things away from Nick to where he now over-deliberates some of these things, where some of these decisions that, you know, he's teetering on the edge with, he's always erring to the side of aggressive because he knows that he might not get another chance to make a decision anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't buy that, CJ, but I know some people are in John's camp that he's, to use the word Rhea said, overcompensating. It's possible. Oh, not saying it's not possible.
So it's kind of like what he says is, when he's doing his interviews and he's saying, oh, yeah, I know about that because I know about everything. He has to say that all the time. Like, everybody comes to me. It's like, oh, okay, dude, we get it. You don't have to name every player every time because you gave one player a compliment or you said this one thing. Dude, I like him. I think he's a great guy. But it's either you're either one of three places in the NFL as a team. Either you're in the trash can trying to build, and you know you're a bad team, and you're just like, hey, we're going to build through the draft, so we know we're going to go through the first spot. You're in the middle, hoping that you get out of it to be a good team, or you're in a team, one of the teams that's considered going to win the Super Bowl.
All right, listen, CJ, a very interesting call. Give me a movie line that was yelled. Give me a great one.
This is Sparta. This is Sparta.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, 300, you got it.
Is that or?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he certainly did not yell it,
he didn't deliver it.
That's, you know, and you don't have to yell it. I think we'll give some extra points if you yell it effectively, but okay.
But that's a great line. Yell it in the movie.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, in the movie, he yells it big. It's a big yell in the movie.
He kicks a guy into a hole.
No, I get it. By the way, I thought Sirianni's post-game speech the other day to the guys, not his best. He said better, but let's listen to it. Sirianni, post-game, locker room, they just won, 4-game winning streak. They get to 6-2. Here's what the head coach had to say.
Guys, if it's not proof of what's been going on here for the past month, right, of it's all about the work, shoot, I don't know what else y'all need, right? Y'all have been coming to practice every single day. Y'all been coming to meetings every single day, and we're getting better every single day. It's hard to win in this league. All right, Nakobe. Unbelievable catch. We've been preaching turnovers. You guys are doing it. Saquon, you made the best player I've ever seen in my life. Guys, it's not hard. And y'all just kept putting your f***ing heads down and going again and again and again. That speaks to a lot of the heart in this room, right? And that means when you got heart, you always got a chance.
All right, Sirianni. I mean, it's a pretty good one, but he's had better. James, what are you laughing at in there?
No, nothing.
You're laughing at something. Would you hear something in there?
Maybe.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Okay. It was out, but it was closer than it probably should have been.
A potential curse.
Yeah,
but it didn't make the air.
No, it wasn't a curse. Like it got like they brought the audio down just enough, but it was closer than I feel like they.
You criticizing the Eagles or WIP?
A little bit the Eagles, yeah.
Not us though.
I didn't do it. I don't know.
I love it. I didn't do it.
So says the executive producer of this fine program. All right. So your reaction to Sirianni, and again, big picture, we just ask you this question: is he a good coach? I think he is, but I think most people today will tell us he's not. Let's talk to Jaws. Ron Jaworski joins us every single Tuesday at this time. We love talking to Jaws, particularly when the birds are on Who would have thunk it, Jaws? A 4-game winning streak. Good morning, Jaws.
Joe, good morning to you and your team. I got to tell you, I'm listening to Nick talk there, and it just brings back just unbelievably positive memories. There is nothing like going into that locker room after you win a football game. I don't care if you beat an undefeated team, a lousy football team. There's nothing like that coach's speech, and nothing like a great camaraderie amongst a team when you win a football game and you get together after the game and the coach makes that speech. It's very special. It gives me goosebumps to hear Nick talking like that.
Yeah, John, yes, you've talked about that through the years.
It is really nice, and there are things sometimes. I heard the other day, Jaws, he was talking about the perfume. You know, it can smell great and all that stuff. Do whatever the heck you want with it. Just don't drink it. I thought it was really effective, but then you know, I hear things like Dan Orlovsky yesterday saying that no coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni. What do you make of that, Ron?
I would agree with Dan. it's a very aggressive approach. At times it works. At times it doesn't. I think you have to be judicious in when you make those decisions. I'm not quite sure what analytics Nick is using when he makes those decisions, but you know, when you get a win, you kind of forget those things. But mm-hmm. they took a lot of points off the board, and and going for a 57-yard field goal, I think was questionable, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. So, Joe, here are the two I didn't like. I didn't like the 57-yard field goal, and I didn't like not kicking a field goal early in the game on 4th and 3. Other than that, I thought the decisions were reasonable. I mean, Jaws, the two-point conversion one, the one where it's at the one-yard line, has come tremendously into focus. I mean, if I've got Jalen Hurts and Saquon and a really good offensive line and the ball's on the one-yard line and I can get 2 points instead of 1 point, I want the coach to go for 2 points. I think that's honestly very basic.
Yeah, and I, you know, you got to weigh a lot of things. It's not just a 100% let's do it or let's don't do it. You got to look at the team you're playing, the situation you're in. And I agree with you. You know, a yard with this offensive line, this quarterback, and this running back, you say, hey, you got to feel your odds are pretty good at making that. But I'm kind of a believer, and we've had this discussion throughout the year because we've had a number of shows where we had to talk about decision making. I'm a big believer, and maybe I'm old school. They call me whatever you want. Take points when you can get them. Take the points. You're playing against a Jacksonville team. It's not going to score a lot of points. You know, go ahead and take the three, be happy, walk off the field, you got points on the board. And that's just my gut feeling, and I think most coaches feel that way. Don't turn away points.
Jaws with us here, as he is every Tuesday. We love having Jaws on the program. Jaws, let's broaden this out to a couple other things here. Saquon. So, I mean, a play I don't think any of us have ever seen, probably a play that's never happened in the history of football at any level, but who knows, we haven't seen every game. What did you make of that moment? See, you know, I had a friend yesterday told me, because we talked yesterday, Jaws, on the show, that we talked about Randall's play in 1990 against Buffalo and sort of the compare and contrast of elite athleticism at just an all-time level. A buddy of mine said to me yesterday, he thinks it's right there with Dr. J's play from 1980 when he went around the backboard. I thought that was a great comparison of ridiculous athleticism. What did you make of that Saquon moment?
It was sensational. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He just brings a talent to the field that is very unique. And you know, when you watch him run, you can see the power, the speed, the quickness. I don't know if I've ever seen a running back with that type of athleticism. The leap in the air, leap over someone, going backwards, and he still maintained his balance. It was ballerina-like. You know, it was just an amazing run. Then he finishes with power. You know, it's just an incredible play. Now, I remember Dr. J's play, and that's pretty special at the time as well. And actually, I saw Randall's play and DeCarl Banks play.
Yeah.
There's so many great athletic plays, but you certainly got to put Saquon up there with all those plays.
Big time. So, Jaws, here's the conundrum, I think, as it relates to Saquon and the Eagles coaching staff. How often to use them? I mean, obviously, if you got one game left, you're going to give them the ball as much as you can. But it's 21 games to win the Super Bowl these days. They've only played 8. They got a long way to go. I do think they're overusing him. I do think we're seeing that effect with him now getting up slower. I mean, probably was 5 or 6 times the other day. Are you worried they may be overusing him?
Absolutely. I think it's really a fine line. And, you know, you want to see, you know, he's playing unbelievable football. He's having just a spectacular year. But, again, I think we have to look at where this team potentially could end up. They're starting to play really good football on both sides of football. So I think you can say, hey, okay, we can start thinking playoffs. We can start thinking Super Bowl. All those thoughts can come into our mind. Now you put him on a pitch count. Do you want him to get 20 carries a game? Do you want him to catch 2 passes a game, 3 passes a game? But the game dictates how that goes. And if you're ahead, like a couple weeks ago, you know, he didn't go back in the game when he probably could have had 250 yards in the game. But I think you need to keep him on a pitch count because you need him healthy when he goes to the playoffs.
Jaws, could you explain how well Jalen is playing to Joe DiCamera in particular?
Who has acknowledged that he's playing better.
Could you also explain to Joe that Jalen's doing a good job of reading things out and getting the ball to the open man, you know, checking it down when that's appropriate, and also that being under center is not this incredible impediment that he is incapable of taking snaps while putting his hand under a center's butt?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. It opens up the passing game. When the game is over, you know, you start evaluating everything going on. And the thing that jumped out to me most of all in the game against Jacksonville was the deep ball accuracy.
Four for four.
For balls over 20 yards or more. 127 yards, 31 yards for completion. And the thing you start to get into now, no safeties around because those safeties are getting nosy. They're worried about the run.
They have to.
Big,
spots
to throw the football into, a lot of space to throw the football into. But the deep ball accuracy, when you're running the ball as well as the Eagles are running the football, you're going to get those one-on-one opportunities. And Jalen is hitting them. The deep ball accuracy is there. And I think some of that goes with the play-action pass game under center. There's no doubt in my mind, I'm an under, and we talk about this almost every week, I'm an under-center guy because you got the downhill running game, and you force linebackers to get nosy. That opens up the spaces in the secondary. So clearly, I think Jalen's playing very well. And he's taking the running opportunity. He's not looking to run. He's taking them when they present themselves. And they've designed some really good runs. Kellen Moore's done a really good job of designing runs to get Jalen in space off the running game. So I think he's playing at an amazing high level right now. If he can continue this, you know, we may be talking, you know, I don't know if he can recover from the poor start, but we could be talking league MVP if this team keeps playing well. Oh. Although Saquon Barkley clearly would be the guy that would be my MVP right now.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding. All right, Charles, what about the, and I agree with you, he's played so much better. What about, how do you net out wins that have included Cleveland, the Giants, and the Jags, who are probably three of the five worst in football? How do you net out what the Eagles are when those have been some of the, you know, competitors?
That's a great question, Joe. It really is. It's kind of a head scratcher, you know. And we're going to get a Dallas team that's really wounded right now this week as well. So, you know, we really haven't come up against a formidable opponent, but we will down the road, and we'll have good benchmarks down the road. But I think, you know, enjoy the victories, try to get better. And that's the main thing. This team is getting better week to week. I know the opponents aren't the best opponents in the world, but they're getting better. You know, when I see Bond and Dean playing as well as they're playing, I spoke to you guys about them last week. When I look at the tape, they're playing great football as a tandem. Put the tape in last night. They played better against Jacksonville than the week before, so they're getting better. And that's what I'd like to see for a new, when you got a new defensive coordinator, learning a new defense, and guys get better every single week. That's optimistic to me.
Love it. And, Jaws, final thing here. So, speaking of better than the Eagles on Sunday would be if you guys, the Eagles alums in the Eagles Hall of Fame, had played. Because what a squad. You, Wilbert, B. West, Coach Vermeil coaching, Harold, Mike Quick. All right, so what was it like being around the guys on Sunday? Obviously, you know, there's a lot that we can't see. When you're with the crew, what stood out to you seeing so many of the all-time Eagles greats?
Joe, thanks for asking. It's really special. By the way, you know, Joe Banner, Howie Roseman, Brian Papps, and Don Swills did a fantastic job with the presentation of Shady McCoy. And, you know, as former Hall of Famers, we're all present Hall of Famers, I guess. We're all very excited to get together. It's kind of amazing when we get in that tunnel the first time we're all together. The hugs, the tears, the feelings of passion for each other, the love of achievement is just so incredible. So it's a very, very special day. You know, I thank the Eagles for what they do for all the alums, especially the Hall of Famers. It was a great day and very exciting for all of us. And Shady is a special guy, and we're glad to have him amongst our special group.
Awesome, Jaws. And I'll tell you, that group's going to get expanded the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, Andy, Foles, Kelsey, Brandon Graham, Ertz.
Cox.
I mean, that squad's getting better and better. Hey, Joss, have a wonderful day, my man, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Joss.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You got it, man.
Joss.
All right, Brandon Graham joins us in studio in a moment. Let's get to Carter right now. Carter, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing? Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Carter.
Hey, everybody. Look, last time I gave Richie his flowers, I'm giving to you, Joe. When I first listened to the show, I had this switched back. For some odd reason, I didn't hear your name correctly, so I thought I was talking to Joe, the cameraman.
I've gotten that a few times.
The cameraman!
I've gotten that.
Why does the cameraman get so much time on the radio?
It's a great question. I ask myself every day.
If you're good looking, it makes sense. You know?
Yeah, so I had to just, but anyway, I look at Nick Sirianni. I don't think he's a good coach. I think that he's not a bad coach, but NFL coach, maybe not. Good college coach, probably. I think what he tried to do is, I think he's trying to make a name for himself in his league. Like, get a cute name like Boy Wonder, how they look at people like McVay or McDaniels or something else. Because face it, if he gets fired from his job, what job is he going to get back in the NFL? He's not going to get ever hired as a head coach right now, and definitely not as a coordinator because he don't do anything. So he's kind of like
Carter, I think you're wrong. I'll just tell you. Look, we'll hear from
Brandon. He's got a network. Frank Reich, wherever Frank. Frank is.
No, I'm not reacting to that. I'm reacting to, quote, he doesn't do anything. Look, Carter, we're going to hear from Brandon Graham in a moment. I'll just tell you, I think he sets a tempo with the guys. I think he's involved with the offense. I think he has a good culture. I know he had the ridiculous collapse last year, and there's no getting around that. But, I mean, Carter, he has a record of 40-19. And, by the way, one of those games they didn't try because it was the last game of 2021. So, in games they've tried in the regular season, he has a record of 40-18. I mean, a couple
of those losses were with Gardner Minshew in 2022 as well.
And look, I know he has benefited at many twists and turns, including this year, from an easy schedule. And I know Howie gives him a great roster typically. I'm not pushing that aside. But I think that you are, frankly, I'll use this word, unfair to Sirianni. But we'll see. Carter, give me a great answer. A movie with a line that is yelled. Give me the line that is yelled.
I'm going to set it up when you're a kid and you go watch this movie, and then next thing you know, you think you're going to see a fight, and all you're hearing the guy saying, bang the damn towel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good answer.
Which, by the way, is, James, you've acknowledged maybe my best impression.
Easily your best impression.
All right, here we go. Throw the towel! Throw the damn towel!
It's so good.
We've pretty good.
Done side by side. It's like exactly
really
like it.
High-pitched one.
But that's the way it sounds.
I think we did this too.
Side by side. It's very good.
Rocky IV, man.
A lot of dogs are crying out there. That was very high.
Okay. Let's welcome in Brandon Graham, who's used to a lot of things in Philadelphia, including a win and complaints about the coach. Good morning, BJ.
Good morning.
So, Brandon, this is a tough one because I know you got a lot of love for fans, and I know you got a lot of love for Nick.
Uh-huh.
Why in, like, the world, Brandon, is there always so many complaints after victories? And look, I'm part of it sometimes. I acknowledge it. I'm not the guy that doesn't do it myself sometimes. You know that. Mm-hmm. But I do think, Brandon, the town has...
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Just evaluate it, Nick, to a certain degree. What do you think?
It just comes with the territory. Everything has to be flawless in people's eyes sometimes. And we all got mistakes that we've got to overcome. But I don't think it's a mistake. I think this is just who he is. He's definitely going out there, and we got his back. You know, if we got to go for it and go get a win, man, we going to go get it. Like you said, 40-18. Some stuff, okay, like he going to get better from. I'm not saying that he's perfect at every call, but every call that he's make out there, we on the sideline rallying each other up, getting ready just in case on defense. But I feel like it's a good culture because the way he facilitate everything, you know, the way he talk to his coaches, the way he hold them accountable just as much as he hold us accountable. I think as a head coach, you got to be able to do that on both sides of it. And you know, it is unfair for people to critique in the league, especially with a team like that, because the Jaguars has a good team. They have a good roster. They just haven't put it together, I feel. But we knew that they had players that could, you know, beat us. And so I just know that, this NFL game is crazy. It might end up, we definitely was up 22-0, but hey, like I said, them little mistakes caught up to us.
Yeah.
And now that's why we getting critiqued, because it was a blowout at first until it wasn't.
Brandon Graham with us in studio, as he is at this time every Tuesday for a half an hour. Of course, we'll get to some phone calls while BG is here. Be like Brandon Graham. Make your game day epic with party trays from Primo Hoagies. That's right, Primo Hoagies, online at primohoagies.com. It's not just a Primo. It's not just a hoagie, it's a primo. Brandon, let me ask you this question. You touched on it a bit, but I'm wondering if you can elaborate. So the last caller said, and I think this was the exact quote, Nick Sirianni doesn't do anything. Can you tell everyone listening, from your perspective, what does he do? From Sunday to Sunday, what does he do? Because what that guy said, a lot of people think, I don't. What does he do?
Well, right now he's coming up with the plan for this week. That's what he's doing right now. I can bet you he's in the office talking to his coaches, getting the game plan down so that we can be ready tomorrow. And then he's doing the stuff, the dirty work, calling players, picking the FaceTiming. You know, he FaceTimed me almost every week. Just how you doing? You enjoying the moment? You know, just staying connected with the guys outside of just being in the facility. And I feel like people don't see that, and that's cool that people don't see that, because we don't see what other people do that complain about what he don't do. But at the end of the day, this is what I see him do. This is what I've seen him grow over the years, from his first year to the everybody was wearing the little flower.
You know
he done came a long way from that, and I mean I know for him, he just want to be great. And we can't be great without the greatness of others. And that's exactly what his stuff is always about. And, you know, he hold everybody accountable. I wish everybody could see it behind the scenes, but we try to show it by what we put out there on Sunday. And it's not going to be perfect, but in this league, a win is a win. But we got to learn from it too. And I believe that we're getting better from it, because the defense at one point we couldn't tackle, but now we making those tackles because we stand consistent on our preparation, even though things don't always happen like you want to early on. But I feel like everything now, people getting a little comfortable and trusting in one another and trusting in themselves. And I think it's going to only get better. And I think Nick going to prove a lot of people wrong.
Do you think people like Nick because he's easy? I know that might be hard to answer.
People, you mean players, Sean,
players,
right?
Players. Like, the players.
It's not easy because we haven't got a victory Monday yet.
Okay. All right.
You know, and then our Thursdays is, man, like it's gotten a little harder.
It has. It's from gotten, yes. Previous seasons.
Yes.
He has ramped up the intensity.
Yes. I promise you.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, that is really great to hear.
Yeah, he's definitely
that's like, something we as fans, I as a player who went to camp when we wore pads and stuff, you know, I am worried about that part. Things we're not even practicing football anymore. You know, we need to get cleats on and pads and hit people to get good at hitting people. And I feel like we're not doing enough of that. I always assume that the players, of course they're going to support Nick because he says practice is 45 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
And he says practice, you get to wear a baseball cap instead of a helmet. So how much does that factor in to how much the guys like Nick?
You know what? I like both sides of it. When you got a more mature team, you can take that type of role so that you can preserve guys to get to the game. Because if you make mistakes out there on the field, then we need to do more. We need to make sure that we practicing and doing all that. Last year, you see what happened? How we went 10-1, then we wasn't winning the right way, we was getting a little lucky last year, and it crashed down in a terrible way. And I know that's the learning curve that people don't see on what we do now up to this point. Like, because Nick is like, hey, we got a young team, we got to make sure we stay on it, because that's why we good, because of the preparation, the knowing what's coming. People out there yelling, hey, it's remember this, because they are preparing us and getting us right, in practice. And it's because we are spending a little more time walk through, pre-practice stuff. And then when you in practice, it's like, man, we got 5 to 6 teams. You know, it used to be just three to four on a Thursday, and that's pass rush day. But now it's 5 to 6, and sometimes they throw in a couple situations in there to get a little extra, couple extra teams, so.
Wow.
All right, let's get a lot
so
of
that's more ahead, situational football. Yeah. You're saying when those extra teams, you're getting more work than you did previously.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Breaking news, Nick Sirianni coaches.
Oh, it ain't.
James, why does everyone think he doesn't? I mean, the last caller said quote, doesn't do anything.
I'm with you.
What
crazy
in the world?
Me.
Like, I will be critical and very critical when I feel the situation is warranted.
Joe, let's but not.
It's my least favorite narrative in Philly. But it, right not, now, that he doesn't do anything is my least favorite thing going.
Ridiculous. Go ahead, Ray.
The narrative was set up by the fact that they took 9 days to decide to bring him back. Oh, he was hanging by a thread. I think that's what most of us believe.
I agree.
And that they brought in Kellen Moore. And, you know, obviously Vic Fangio, you know, runs his own thing. And so there, I mean, it was a question that was asked at the news conference.
Of course.
So, I mean, it's not like people drew it out of the air.
Well, they, Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, chose to bring him back. And I don't think they brought him back for him to not be the coach. He's the coach. Now, I do think they took some power away from him. And I think that was wise. But, I mean, this concept that he is like the guy that just sits in the corner and observes.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
Is ridiculous. Yeah. And the last caller said, don't do anything. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Brandon Graham with us. He'll be here as he is every Tuesday until 8:10. By the way, wait till you hear the audio of Paul George after the game last night. It's an all-timer. It's not quite Ricky Wooters for Who for What after a first game.
It's remarkable.
But it ain't good. We'll get to that shortly. Sixers lost a close one. They almost won last night. He was rusty. He'll be better. He's a good player, no question.
How far are we for 1-8? We start tanking for Cooper Flagg? Anyone in?
Yes.
Just sit Embiid all year. Let's get Cooper Flagg. Let's go. Let's
Holy hell. Can't do that yet. Corey in Pottstown. Corey, what's going on, buddy?
Good to talk to you guys today. First of all, let me tell you why Nick Sirianni is a good coach. And there's two former players sitting in there. Or I'm sorry, I didn't say former. My fault there, Brandon. I meant to say two players in there. It's always hard to win in the NFL. Every person says that. Every coach says that. Every player says that. So when you have a record of 40-18, there are teams out here that are winning despite the fact that they think they have a good coach, and they're not winning. So he's brought a winning culture to this team, and I love it. Now, as far as the plays that he made the other day, or calls that he made the other day, I will say there was only one call I did not disagree. I disagreed with.
Which one?
Jalen scores in the third quarter. Scores that running touchdown. He flips on his head. Fred Johnson gets banged up. Then there's a timeout right there, and then they still go for two.
So feel the moment. You think, yeah, that's interesting.
I think they should have been looking at Hurts on the sideline, and by God, let me just tell you this: as much as we kind of sort of killed Fred Johnson in that first game, he played a great game the other day, and he showed some strength in coming back in that game and blocking as well as he did. So I want to give kudos to him. I have a question for Brandon before I give you my movie.
Go for it,
Brandon. I think our young DBs are awesome. I think the one guy that's underrated on that team right now, Isaiah Rodgers. Tell us about Isaiah Rodgers.
Hi, Corey. Good question. We're going to get that answer in a moment. Give me your movie line that was yelled.
One word. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Meg?
Yes.
Meg Ryan?
Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Very
good,
that's
actually.
That's pretty good answer.
Really good answer. Was decent.
Yeah.
That was a good answer.
It would have been more exciting if Meg Ryan was saying yes and Corey saying yes.
I didn't need Corey doing a full-on Meg Ryan in that scene.
Yeah,
I'm okay without that,
If that's what he was getting at.
The orgasmic delivery is a little weird. But
a little weird, yeah.
All right, Brandon, Isaiah Rodgers, he's made some plays. What are you noticing from him?
Hey, I already knew he could make plays. It's just he got hurt at a time where, you know, he definitely was going to have some reps, but now Slay is hurt, and so he getting his opportunity again and stay ready. Somebody who, you know, I knew he been counting the days on when he can get back and make everybody, you know, well, he made a mistake, but he wanted to make sure he made it right by his play on the field, and so I know he's been counting the days down, and, man, I'm excited for what's to come for him because he is an underrated player, and I think he's going to be really good for us.
John, this is a tough lineup to crack. Guy like Isaiah Rodgers, like, I need to see him play more but I think there's a chance he'd be starting on a decent amount of teams.
Oh, I think when he's Slay skilled.
Slay and Quinyon Mitchell in front of you, that's hard to beat out. Very hard.
And Coop.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a lot of talent right there.
Yeah.
All right, speaking
the
of
young guys, too, you've got young guys who are all just sort of like chomping at the bit, waiting in the wings, ready with all that athleticism. You know, they're playing lots of special teams, but honing those skills, man, a lot of competition.
Yeah, all right.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.